Welcome to Insight Without Jack Stogler tonight. He and Marsha are probably off on some adventure somewhere, and that's just fine. He's allowed to do that. He's retired. He did have, I think, 7 or 8 retirement parties when he was actually in the process of retiring, but I think he's finished with all of that. So tonight we are talking with Steve Stone from Nature's Green. How are we doing tonight, Steve?
We're doing wonderful.
All right. We'd like to hear that. And so it's spring. I started planting flowers. I got my petunias out.
It might be a little bit early for that.
It's 90 degrees out there.
Actually, it is not too early to plant pansies. If you want early color and have no concerns at all with cold temperatures, spring pansies or violas are perfectly fine to plant,
and they'll handle the cold when we get those freezing days again.
Yep, they just absolutely thrive with cool or cold nights, even frosty nights and warm sunny days. They are going to be happy as can be. So planting your early, if you want early color, now's the time to get those things out. And again, you're going to enjoy those all the way through probably July, August. If we have a mild summer, they'll go all summer. What usually gets them is a lot of heat, sun, and humidity, and they really start to fade when you get into that July, August time frame. But if you can somehow limp them through the hot part of the summer, as soon as it starts to cool down in the fall, they'll take off again. So typically a full sun exposure isn't the best. So if you could plant them on an east exposure is the best. They're going to get plenty of sun, and they're going to be shielded if you plant them around your house, like your house, perfect. Well, your backyard's really shaded too, but
yeah.
If you plant them on an east exposure, they're going to get that morning sun, and they're going to be shaded from the hot part of the day, and that's what you want to do. But again, that I would suggest planting. Your early season garden crops, you could start think about planting those. What would be like, considered your coal crops, which would be broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, lettuce, all those plants.
Radishes are
perfectly fine. Yep. Started from seed. Those are all plants that are, again, going to thrive in cool, almost cold temperatures. Lettuces, different types of lettuces will thrive with daytime highs being in the 50s. Very, very, very easy plant to grow. And again, another plant that once you get into the heat of the summer is hard to grow. If you're doing different types of lettuces, you easily can have two seasons. You can have that spring season, which would be seeding now and enjoying, the crops probably by middle to the end of April. And you'll be able to harvest through April, probably into May. And then, again, once it gets a little hot and dry, they're not going to do very well. And then you can seed that again in late July, August. And then, again, once we get into the cooler September days, you'll have another crop.
That's pretty good. Now, I was going to ask you what lettuce tastes the best, but I'm not even going to bother asking. Well, you can let everybody else know the rabbits eat my lettuce when it comes up. So I've planted it several times and I've never tasted it.
If you're in town, well, I guess any place, because I have a lot of rabbits in my neck of the woods as well.
I have one or two, but they're hungry.
Yeah,
and they like my lettuce.
In a situation like that where you're, in town, you're going to typically have a lot of rabbits, and we have a good crop of them out on Union City Road. You have to protect them with something, whether that be a
shotgun.
Shotguns work extremely well.
Not in town.
Some type of a fence of some sort, like a chicken wire or something. Because, any kind of the cold crops, again, that you're planting, and again, I have the same issues when I do broccoli, cauliflower, even eggplant, anything like that, they just mow right off. Unless I've got some chicken wire columns or rings or whatever. And then once they get so far, once the plants get so far along, they usually leave them alone. But when they when they're freshly planted, yeah, they're gone. They'll they'll get in there and chew up. And I have a lot of deer in my neighborhood, so I fight with those things nibbling and tasting everything I like to plant. So
let's take a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk. We'll get into real gardening stuff and yard and lawn and landscape stuff back in just a couple minutes.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Sawyer Overman Memorial Committee is going to have a very special event that you don't want to miss, coming up on Saturday, March 29th at the Progressive Sportsman Club on St. Peter Road. It's Second Amendment Bingo, and every item will be either cash or a Second Amendment item. Bingo starts at 7 o'clock, and the doors open at 6, and there's a limited number of tickets at just $100 each. It includes 14 games of bingo with big prizes for each game, and a full meal is included, and there will be a special 15th game for an additional $20 with a big grand prize for the winner. There will be no bar service, so you are welcome to bring your own cooler full of drinks, and there will be a 50-50 drawing and several other raffles. Entertainment and lots of laughs will be provided by the bingo callers, Rick and Bob Hine, and all proceeds will go to the Sawyer Overman Memorial Fund to help fund their ninja park. Get your tickets now for this enjoyable evening with lots of big prizes, the Second Amendment Bingo Party, Saturday, March 29th at 7 o'clock, benefiting the Sawyer Overman Memorial Fund, raising money to build the upcoming awesome ninja park. You do not want to miss this great party. Welcome back to Insight. We're here with Steve Stone, Nature's Green, and we're talking spring planting and not planting and other stuff. So let's just go this way. What do you want to talk about next? Landscaping?
Well,
lawn, flowers?
Wow, there's lots to talk about this time of year.
Yes, there is. What are things we shouldn't do besides plant most of the annuals?
Well, let's talk about what we should do.
Okay, that's okay too, because we want to get to both.
What we should be doing right now is if you fall gets busy and football and everything else, if you haven't been out in the landscape and lawn since late last season, certainly pruning and trimming as far as cutting down perennials, right now is the best time to get in there and cut all your perennials down.
Like roses?
Well,
roses, I generally prune some in the fall, and then in the spring when I'm going to start putting them against my trellis, my awesome trellis that everybody likes that you guys made for me, then I start kind of trimming some of that back.
Yeah, cutting back all your herbaceous perennials, which would be daylilies and all those different things, sedum and salvias and nepeta and all those things, you know, need to be trimmed down. Ornamental grasses, this is the time of year to trim those down. If you didn't do them last fall, you want to trim those down.
Is fall better than spring, or does it make much difference? Just so you get it cut off, so the new stuff can
start. It doesn't make any difference. There's I like leaving a lot of mine ornamental grasses over the winter stand because that gives you some nice winter interest. It gives the birds kind of a place to harbor and hide. Also, again, with snow, ice, you know, frost, it just gives some nice winter texture that you don't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So in a lot of cases, waiting till spring is perfectly fine, but you can trim them off late fall. It doesn't matter. You just want to get in there like now and trim them down before the new growth starts, because if you wait until we've had a bunch of really warm days, the new shoots start coming up, and then you kind of trim the new stuff off with the old stuff, and you kind of knock them back by a number of weeks. It doesn't hurt the plant, but
or if you're going to trim them, you have to trim around the new stuff. Correct. Which is a pain.
Yes, very difficult. So that's, you know, pruning and trimming, and I say, you know, keeping the beds clean over the wintertime. Certainly with, you know, the winds that we've had and we consistently have all the time, you might have leaves kind of gathering in different places, and piles of leaves are a perfect spot for disease and insects to kind of hang out and create a home. Also can be, you know, around your house could be a place where voles or mice and stuff like to hang out. So, you know, cleaning all those leaves up and getting the beds, you know, raked out or blown out, however you want to do it, with a leaf blower, you want to get all that stuff cleaned up. Certainly, yes, this is a good time of year for pruning your roses back. We've had enough warm days that it should be very, very, very obvious if you don't have severe glaucoma, that the roses are very noticeable or obvious of the tissue that's dead and the tissue that's alive. The stuff that's dead is going to be chocolate brown, really dark brown.
Yep.
The stuff that's alive, the tissue and stems or branches or whatever you want to call it, canes that are alive, are going to be a real brilliant lime green.
Yep, and I kind of glanced at mine today or maybe yesterday, I can't remember which. And there's some buds on them, and one or two of them were starting to put a little bit of a leaf out.
Yep. Yeah, again, we've had, you know, a couple of those 70-degree days. It doesn't take long, and things are going to start to break dormancy, and that's fine. I've had people call already and ask about, we'll get to that. But, yes, roses are something you want to get pruned back right now. Hydrangeas are another. Well, what I was saying is, it's very obvious on your roses, the tissue that's dead and alive. So obviously go in and with a sharp pair of shears and pruners and clip out any of the dead brown stems, canes that you see. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a little bit of tip dieback with the roses. This year, I would consider relatively mild. I mean, we had some cold temps, but they didn't stick around for a long, long period of time. So probably aren't going to see a lot of tip die back. But again, if you want to shrink the size, if the plant's too big, like some of your knockout roses that people really like can get really big over time, you can trim into the green stuff. You're not going to hurt anything if you want to reduce the size. But mostly, like on the climbing roses, I would just go through and clip out what's dead and let it just take off and grow.
Yep.
I wouldn't do a lot of pruning on something like that. Hydrangeas are another plant, woody shrub, that's super popular. And in most cases, this time of year, I would just simply deadhead those. The hydrangeas, most varieties are notorious for carrying their flowers. They don't shatter in last season when they're done blooming, so they'll hold a big round ball of blooms, and they might be kind of a light tan to a medium tan color, and they'll stand all winter, which again gives you some really cool winter interest. But now's the right time to go in and clip all those spent blooms off, and you don't have to do a lot of, you know, deep pruning if you like the size of them. Just simply go through and deadhead them and turn them loose. And again, they'll be taking off very quickly. That also, the hydrangeas are also a plant that is easy to notice the tissue that's dead or alive, very similar to a rose in that the tissue that's dead is going to be a very dark chocolate, real rich brown color. And the stems and tissue that's alive is going to be, again, a very bright lime green. So even if it doesn't have foliage, you're going to be able to tell easily and quickly what's dead and what's alive, and you can do some, you know, easily do some pruning. Another plant or other plants that actually were really getting to a critical time that you need to prune, and if you don't get it done within the next, I'd say, 2 weeks, then I just wait till the following season, would be your fruit trees. Your fruit trees need to be trimmed this time of year as well, so your apple trees and your pear trees. You want to be careful pruning on your peach trees. If you are lucky enough or, I don't know, dumb enough to try to grow peach trees in Ohio, you can get them to survive, but again, they tend to bloom a bit earlier than what apples do, and so you don't get as frequent of a nice harvest as you do with apples, because they just simply flower a little earlier than everything else. So they have a tendency to get frosted, but you don't want to prune peach trees back at all this time of year. But your apples and cherries and pears, those are all trees that need to be pruned back right now. And the apple trees, again, you just, it's hard to explain on the radio, but you want to keep the canopies open. You don't want to produce like a round tree like you would a, you know, a crab apple or something like that. You want the center of the canopy to be open, so you get as much sunlight down into the tree as possible, and then good airflow throughout, because getting the air to kind of go through the tree and maintain a thinner type of a tree with the way you prune it just allows sunlight and airflow through, so you have a lot less tendency to have disease issues pop up. So pruning those is hugely important right now. And again, we're to the point where we need to, yeah, after you get your pruning done on your apple trees, you want to do your horticultural oil application, which is an insecticide that's going to prevent a myriad of different types of insects that can attack your fruit and your trees through the summer. And so this time of year, doing that application is going to eliminate a lot of problems. It can eliminate, I mean, because the horticultural oil, it doesn't just affect, you know, the adult insect. It can kill eggs, it can kill larvae, and it can kill adult insects, and it has a very broad spectrum of control. So getting that horticultural oil on now is really important to make sure you have a clean crop this summer with your fruit trees.
Okay, so trees, what about planting trees this time of year? Is that bad, sort of okay, or really, really good?
I think
fall is generally the best.
Fall's a great time. Spring, like March, April, even into early May, is an outstanding time for planting new stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to plant some trees, great time of year to plant those. New shrubs, great time of year to plant those. The soil's still cold. Obviously, we haven't had enough warm days to get the soil temperature up. But again, planting now is it's an outstanding time, because the plants are mostly still dormant. So they're going to require less care, maintenance, and worry moving them. And then planting them, and, you know, again, when you plant them, get them watered in really good. The earlier you plant them, the better. And that kind of segues into another topic as far as, if you've got plants that you want to move, you've got a rose, or you've got, I moved for a guy called me today, or called me last week, and he's got we're re-landscaping the whole front of his house and doing a whole bunch of work for him, and his wife has a smaller lilac that has been in the family for a couple of different generations, and they wanted that moved to the back of the house because where it was located, it was getting too much shade, plus we're going to re-landscape everything. And he's like, well, all this other old stuff you can rip out and throw away, and I don't care. But he said, if we rip this out and throw this away, my wife's going to kill me.
Dr. Stone will save it.
So I said, easy enough, the time of year's perfect. I talked to him last week. I said, you know, this week I'll come out and we'll get that spaded out and we'll get it relocated to wherever you decide. And so I stopped over and visited with him today. And yes, the ground is perfect. There's good moisture in the ground, but it's not too wet and it's not too dry. And he was thrilled that I got it out of the ground. He couldn't believe how fast I got it out of the ground. And the root ball was huge, and it stayed completely intact. And I got it out of the ground and into my wheelbarrow and took it into the backyard and got it planted, and he just was absolutely elated that we got to move. The root ball stayed intact. It's supposed to rain tonight, you know. And now we're
sounds ready. About perfect.
Now we're ready to redo the front of his house. So yes, he was absolutely elated with how everything worked out, and I was very happy. I didn't have a bunch of burlap with me, so I was just kind of hoping,
yeah,
that the soil was wet enough that it would hold the ball together.
Yep.
And the lilacs typically have a fairly fibrous root system, so I did get it out and got it all the way into the backyard and had no issues with it. Got it replanted. So if you need to move something, especially, again, a rose, anything, boxwood, it doesn't matter, hydrangea, whatever, this is the time of year you can have really good success, and it's going to be relatively easy on the plant to move it now. And almost,
you're talking about the next week or two or the next month? Or
before things start to leaf out. Once things are fully leafed out, yep, like a deciduous plant, a plant that, yep, loses its leaves in the wintertime. Once it's completely leafed out, you probably want to stay away from it until fall.
Yeah.
Evergreens are a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
So like if you have a boxwood or a juniper or something like that, you could move those a little bit later into the spring. But if you got anything woody, you know, larger plant to move, you want to do it, I'd say, within the next 2 weeks. Probably looking at the forecast, you're going to be pretty safe, because next week it looks a little, I mean, a little cooler, but more, I mean, typical for March. So again, I think you're going to have plenty of time to do that. Also, dividing and separating, you know, perennials, if you've got ornamental, we talked about ornamental grasses. If you want to divide, separate ornamental grasses, if you want to divide hostas, daylily, sedum, salvias, any of the again, perennial type flowers, right now is a great time.
Phlox.
Good time of year to move those. Again, cooler temperatures, good soil moisture. You're going to have good luck dividing and separating and moving, and they're not going to miss a beat. Especially, you know, ornamental grasses are easy to do in the spring. Don't do them in the fall. They're really fussy about doing that in the fall. Ornamental grasses are definitely springtime. And again, daylilies, hostas, sedums, dianthus. There's a lot of perennials that are super easy to move. And this is a great time of year to divide and separate and move them.
Cool. So let's take another break here. We'll come back and talk more yard and garden stuff with Steve Stone back in just a couple of minutes.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
This winter, give your lawnmower the care it deserves with Hall Brothers Winter Mower Service Special. With free pickup and delivery, we're making servicing your mower easier than ever. Our skilled team will inspect, tune up, and prepare your lawnmower for a smooth spring start. Don't let winter wear you down. Keep it in peak condition. Call Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery today. We're committed to keeping your equipment running strong. It's never too early to prepare for spring. Schedule your service today.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today.
Before we
Terry High School baseball team is having a barbecue chicken dinner on Saturday, April 12th, and you can pick up the dinners from 11 to 1 at the new baseball facility. The varsity baseball team will be playing the Ansonia Tigers, and our Lady Indians will be playing the Jay County Patriots that day, with both games starting at 11 a.m., so bring the family out to the games that day and enjoy the barbecue chicken and the baseball and softball games. The tickets for the chicken dinners are just $10 each, and you get a half a chicken from Wendell's Barbecue, plus applesauce, chips, and a roll. If you're not going to the games, you can just drive through and pick them up. You can contact any of the high school baseball players for tickets, and you can also get them by contacting Wendell's Barbecue at 375-4074. Don't miss out on the baseball team's barbecue chicken dinners this year, available on Saturday, April 12th from 11 to 1 during their home baseball game with Ansonia and the girls' home softball game with Jay County.
We are back.
Steve Stone, Nature's Green. We've talked about several things. We talked about what to plant. Are we through? Did we finish all of that? Are we want to things we maybe shouldn't do that we are anxious to do?
That's a good one.
Because you get days like today and the last few days, you get anxious because you know it's beautiful. You see some of the trees starting to bud, and you're thinking, why don't they have the petunias out yet? I'm gonna plant some.
We have a lot of plants growing, and our greenhouses are full right now. But I mean, woody stuff again is perfectly fine to plant. You don't want to be planting any of your spring annuals or anything like that.
You could plant pansies. You could plant them for practice, so after they freeze off and you dig them up and throw them away, you'll remember how you
more experience.
Yeah.
One thing that everybody loves to do, and I can't say that it's necessarily a bad thing, but people are in a lot of cases anxious to get out and get going, and I see people, and it's usually not residential as much as it's like the commercial, landscape companies will be out mulching right now. And I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, if somebody called me and wanted me to come mulch their commercial property, wanted me to come mulch their landscape, we're certainly going to do it. From a residential standpoint, or like myself, I'll just say myself, I wouldn't do it this time of year. I mean, I know it gives, everybody loves that fresh mulch look, and it looks beautiful and wonderful. And again, I get it. I do it for a living. I get it. But again, what you're doing, early season like this is you're kind of insulating the cold into the ground, and you really want the ground to warm up.
Yeah.
And so you're putting, again, a blanket on, and you're kind of insulating that cold in the ground. So it takes a little bit longer for the ground to actually heat up, warm up, because, again, you're kind of mulching the cool, cold temperatures in the ground. So, again, you see it a lot more in cities, Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton, whatever. The companies that have the big maintenance contracts with the big office buildings and stuff like that, they're out mulching right now. And in what they're probably doing, or in their contracts, they're mulching and planting pansies is what they're doing this time of year, which, again, the pansies look awesome. But as early as it is, in my opinion, probably a little bit too early. I usually try to have my mulching done by Memorial Day. And so, again, you get a lot more warmer days. It gets the ground temperature a lot warmer. Another thing that people think to do with their lawn, but a lot of times they neglect with their landscaping, is I've had tons of calls on the lawns, and we'll get into turf and grass and stuff here in a minute. But everybody thinks to put that pre-emergent down in their lawn to eliminate crabgrass and foxtail, but then they don't necessarily ever think about that for the landscaping beds. There are great pre-emergent, Preen is a over-the-counter name that you can get, and Preen is wonderful to put in your landscape beds to inhibit weed growth.
So it picks out which ones it's going to kill.
No, not that smart.
So it could also.
It's perfectly safe. You can sprinkle it on, over, in, around, anywhere, all your existing stuff. Doesn't affect it at all.
Oh, doesn't affect existing. It affects the...
But what, anything, yeah, anything that's from seed, like from last year, last fall. I mean, plants aren't stupid. They know what time of year it is. So there's a lot of plants that go to seed in the fall. The seed falls into the landscaping bed or wherever, while we're talking about landscaping bed. And then as soon as the soil temperature warms up, they germinate and grow. Well, if you put preen down, that's, again, the over-the-counter name. We use another type called Snapshot, which is similar but a little bit more.
Yeah, you can buy barrels of it.
Yeah. Instead
of.
So we put our Snapshot down early, like right now, and that inhibits weed germination. The weed seed won't germinate. The trade-off for when you don't read your container or you don't read your label on your preen is people will sprinkle that across a dandelion in their landscaping bed, or they'll sprinkle it across a Canadian thistle in their landscape bed, and then they complain that, well, that didn't die. And it's like, well, it's a pre-emergent. It kills weed seeds before they germinate. So again, it can make a huge difference in how your beds are, as far as it eliminates weeds, but it doesn't eliminate perennial weeds. It eliminates weeds that are coming from seed. And that can be a perennial weed or an annual weed, but again, it does eliminate those weeds. And so if you are spending all the time to do your mulching yourself, get a container of preen and put that down in your beds, then put your mulch over top of that. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised come, you know, June, July. I think you'll be amazed at how many fewer weeds you have. You're not going to have weeds, but it's certainly going to have an impact on the amount of weed seeds you're going to see. And again, you can, like your front hill of your house, that you've got all different types of perennials growing in there. You can sprinkle it all through your perennials and all through your ground cover. You can sprinkle it through all of that, and you will not hurt the existing perennials at all. But it does eliminate weeds that are going to germinate and grow that, again, have collected there over the fall and over the winter. The weed seeds that are blowing around, it's not going to allow them to germinate and grow.
So the, like, let's just say, look, for instance, in mine, I have tulips and irises and some other stuff, but tulips and irises, they're not seeds. So they're going to grow.
They're going to grow.
It's not going to hurt them at all. It's only going to eliminate seeds.
Not going to have any effect on those at all. And another question I always get this time of year is people, you mentioned bulbs, people are seeing their tulips grow and their daffodils and hyacinths, and I got crocuses blooming like crazy right now, which is awesome.
I don't have very many, but I have a couple of little patches of it. Yeah. I was walking out there yesterday. I was going to look and see if my, or not yesterday, I think it was Sunday, look to see if my tulips were starting to pop through, and there's this patch of, of crocuses sitting there. I'm going, huh, how about that?
Yeah, I got a ton flowering right now, but again, the tulips are starting to pop up and look pretty nice. The daffodils are certainly farther ahead than most of the tulip varieties. I get people saying, oh my gosh, it's, you know, I know the extended forecast, we've got some frosty nights coming, and I have people, oh, do I need to go put a blanket over them, or should I mulch over them? You know, they're going to get hurt. They're going to get frosted. Absolutely not. The worst thing you could do is try to cover them or mulch over top of them or do anything. Those bulbs are perfectly, perfectly fine with a frosty cold night or even a freezing night. It is not going to affect them in the least. And in fact, like I said, trying to cover them, I've had people say, well, I covered them all, you know, with a heavy layer of mulch. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like the worst thing you could do. Just let Mother Nature will certainly take care of them. And again, even a 20 degree night, even a 19 degree night, those things aren't going to be affected at all. So don't spend any time worrying about that, because you're fine.
Yep. If we have anything even close to that, it'll be one night and then warmer during the day, and then maybe another night and warmer during the day, and maybe another night. That's about as bad as it can get now.
Yeah, I mean, we're out of the woods. For all intents and purposes, we're darn near to April. So, I mean, we're in good shape as far as, you know, we will not have an extended period of really cold or sub-zero temperatures.
Yep.
In the warm, sunny days, again, the plants are just happy as can be. It doesn't matter if it's cold at night.
Yep. Let's take another quick little break, and we'll be back and talk some more plants and stuff with Steve Stone.
one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Land is here, and Wayne IGA has you covered. Stop by their deli for some of their famous freshly fried fish and shrimp. You can get dinners with two sides or buy it by the pound. Call ahead at 375-2865 for larger amounts. They'll have their fish and shrimp in their deli every Friday all the way through Lent. And check out their frozen foods section for their fish, shrimp, and even more meatless Lent options. Let Wayne IGA make your Friday dinners easy this Lenten season. Just stop by their deli and pick up what you need.
Hi, we're the Lady Indians softball team. I'm Kayla Heikamp.
I'm Ella Shane.
I'm Ava Greasy.
And I'm Emma Will.
And we're having a raffle, and all the prizes are cash. $100, $200, $300, $400, and the grand prize of $500 cash.
We'll draw the winners at our first home softball game, scheduled for Thursday, March 27th, and you don't need to be present to win. The tickets are just $10 each, and you can get them from any of our players or coaches.
Don't miss this chance to help out our Lady Indians softball team and take home some cash.
That's the Lady Indians softball team's cash raffle. Tickets are on sale now from any of our players or coaches, and we'll be giving away $1,500 in cash at our first home game, scheduled for Thursday, March 27th.
Good luck, and we appreciate your support.
Welcome back to Insight with Steve Stone. And so Saturday mornings on WCSM.
8:10 to 8:30.
Yep. So when is that going to start? Have you started that already?
Last Saturday was the first show.
Okay.
So we're March now through the last week of October.
Okay. I missed it last Saturday. But yep. So you can get all kinds of stuff, and there'll be updated stuff all through the summer and things. So
yep.
So you can get a lot of information
Yeah, every Saturday.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, every Saturday. I'm on the air every Saturday. If I miss, in this day and age, it's a lot easier than back in the old days when I started.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
Yeah.
I usually have a new show every Saturday because now I can record on my phone, and if I'm going to be at a car show or at a football game or something,
yeah,
I can record on Thursday or Friday and send it in, and then they still have me on the air on Saturday.
Yeah. So. Now, do you... you do take questions, emails, right?
Yeah, they will get...
How do people send you that kind of question?
Well, you can call in on Saturdays anytime. Even before I get there, there's always a DJ there. They'll take messages for me and give me the messages when I get there. Or you can call in during the show. Or you can just simply email WCSM. And they will print out the questions and topics if somebody calls in and asks. And then I'll usually have time during the show to get to the question or go over the topic that the, yep, the person had emailed in. So yeah, email or call in.
Yep, that's good. So that's besides listening to this over and over in the archives, you're allowed to go listen to that with updated stuff every week. So it's more pertinent to that particular season. Yep. So, what other stuff haven't we covered?
We haven't really touched on turf or lawns yet.
Oh, yeah, and that's right.
And so that's
a big deal.
Yeah, you know, again, with just one week, I guess, really, of really nice warm temperatures, you should have noticed your lawn has made a dramatic change as far as being completely straw brown to, you know, showing a lot of green. I know mine has made a tremendous amount of progress with the warmer temperatures we've had. And starting to show a lot of green throughout the lawn. And again, we had a relatively mild winter and also not a significant amount of snowfall. So sometimes when you have a lot of snow through the winter, you can, and again, when you're up north, when you're in Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, areas at upper state, New York, and you can get a lot of snow over the winter and having a gray or pink snow mold growing and then seeing that this time of year, which you'll notice big dead patches in your lawn. That's definitely something that we can see, but we haven't for a long time because we haven't had very significant snow events and we haven't had snow sitting for a long period of time. With the, you know, again, heavy snow loads, it kind of creates, you know, matting and compacting of the turf and the blades of the grass. So again, doing a raking or thatching or something this time of year, again, if your lawn has a lot of dead tissue in it, there's nothing wrong with thatching this time of year. It's a great time of year to corerate. If you want to corerate your lawn, right now is an awesome time to do that. Get that spring application of fertilizer on. It, the timing is ideal for your spring application of pre-emergent crabgrass control. So if you want to get that, and I would really, if you really care about your lawn and you are, you know, want a nice green lawn, you really want to get that pre-emergent down because crabgrass and foxtail can really make your lawn in July and August look absolutely miserable. And it's easy to apply. It's inexpensive to apply. So doing the pre-emergent this time of year, and it almost always comes with a starter or an early season fertilizer with it as well. So it can really jumpstart your lawn. I was going to put mine on today, actually. And it was just so windy this afternoon that I was concerned with as high as the winds were that it would not lay properly and then I would stripe my yard and that would be bad if I striped my own yard. So
you're talking about applying this. Is that something that people should do professionally? Have you guys come do that or is that something they can do themselves and how does that all work?
Well, the lawn applications, the 4 or 5 step six-step lawn applications. We got out of that quite a number of years ago. And so there are local companies that will do that for you. You can hire that out. I would always suggest using a local company. There's one in Salina. There's there's a lot of companies that will do that for you.
And so don't get somebody from somewhere else that you don't have any idea. If you have a problem, you can talk to these people.
I'll say this. I've never been a huge Kemlon fan. So, well, I guess it's True Green. Oh. It's not Kemlon. So True Green. Yeah. True Green is the nationwide, big guy. And, you know, I don't know. I've had issues with the way their practices, their business practices, and their application rates and practices, I think sometimes are questionable. But you know, there's a lot of local people that are more than happy to do that for you,
and will actually put the proper amount on instead of what they feel like they want to make money. The big ones, they're in it for the money, and they don't care if they ever see you again. They just want your money, and the local ones want to be welcomed back next year and the year after and the year after, so they're going to do a good job for you.
Yeah, they want to service your lawn for the next 10 years, and the True Green, if they figure on losing 20 to 25% of their customers every year, and when we were doing it, we never lost 4 or 5% of our customers from year to year. Yeah. But again, you can get the products down at the Wanglers. They have the bagged products the bagged products you need, this time of year for that first application. And they do have a program down there that they have, I think, 4 different bags that will do, through the season, spring, early spring, summer, late summer, fall. So,
and they'll rent you the applicator?
I think they do.
I don't want to speak for Bubba,
but yeah, I think
if not, you can buy one from them.
Exactly. And, you know, I know they have them for sale. So
if if you're going to do it 4 or 5 times a year and you're going to keep it a while, you know, just might as well buy your own instead of renting it, as long as you have a place to put it.
That's right. Yeah. The granular applications that are very easy to apply. And so as long as you roughly know how big your lawn is, you kind of want to measure your lawn so you know, like, Neil, your yard's probably 5, 6, 7,000 square feet, I'm guessing. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah,
probably.
And so the bags, I think the bags that you get, normally the bags you get, I think the ones that the hardware store has, I think do 5,000 square feet. So you just want to make sure you're, you know, it's not hard, you know, calculate the size of your lot, back out the house, the garage, and the driveway, and then you know how much you're treating.
Yep.
And then apply, and then the bag will tell you how much it should cover, and so then apply it at the right rate. You don't want to over-apply it because you're wasting money. You don't want to under-apply it because then it's probably not going to be as effective as it should be. So the spring application is very important, very easy to do. Again, with a granular application, when you get into like spraying weeds, a liquid type of an application for spraying weeds is certainly usually better and more effective than doing a granular application to control your weeds. That might be something, again, you might hire done if you want, if you're super particular, because you're going to get much better control with a spray-on type of an application to control broadleaf weeds. But your granular application that you're doing now is simply fertilizer and then a granular pre-emergent, and that's going to be very easy for a homeowner to do as long as they have time.
Yeah.
Should be very easy to do, safe to do. The granular product, the herbicide is very safe. You're not, you don't have to get out the hazmat equipment and cover from head to toe. I mean, it'll tell you you should wear long pants, you should wear boots, you should wear socks. You know, other than that, it's very easy to use. It's not going to hurt your dogs. I mean, you apply it, it's a granular, it's going to fall down through the grass into onto the soil, and so your dog or cat or whatever is going to be perfectly fine. So yes, that's something you definitely want to do between, you know, mid-March to mid-April. By mid-April, you should have that pre-emergent on, because again, once you get into mid-April, depending on every season's different, but once you get into warmer temperatures, you need to have that pre-emergent down before the soil temperature reaches 58 degrees. Between 56 and 58 degrees is warm enough that things start to germinate and grow. Seeds will germinate and grow. And so crabgrass and foxtail seeds. So you want it down before that starts to grow. After that stuff germinates and starts to grow, then you have to do a post-emergent type of an application, which again isn't hard to do, but you're not going to get control with your pre-emergent after it's already germinated and started to grow.
Yep.
So again, you know, broadleaf control, it's, you know, we're going to have a few more, you know, no warm days, and you might see like a dandelion start to pop, and then people are going to start freaking out that they got to, you know, I gotta kill that. And it's like, just maintain. We're not there yet. You know, it's not going to kill you to let that thing go in another, you know, month, and then, you know, worry about spraying it then. Right now, again, is just kind of getting that grass to come out of dormancy. Give it some food so it will take off and grow. Again, thatching, you know, aerating are all things that will loosen the ground, loosen the grass up, so you let moisture in easier, you let sunlight in, and then again, the products can kind of get to the root zone and grow. Aeration is hugely important in our heavy clay soil, hugely important for a thick, healthy lawn. So, you know, lots and lots and lots to do this time of year.
Yep. And that probably most of that stuff is things you do, but there's also things that people can do themselves, especially since you guys are probably busy.
Yeah, I mean, we have a core aerator. We've got a big one that we pull behind a small tractor, and we have a smaller one that's a walk behind. And yeah, core aerating, you know, this time of year, I think, is a very underappreciated and underused practice in keeping your lawn thick and healthy. I see a lot of, again, with the time of year that it is, I see a lot of people out there rolling their lawn, and that certainly,
That makes it nice and smooth when you're mowing.
That certainly is a practice that is commonly done around here. I'm trying to be more politically correct in my old age. That is definitely a practice that is done a lot around here, and it does make it a little smoother when you're mowing. But as far as helping your turf and caring for your turf, that couldn't probably be much worse.
So is it because most of this is clay and you're just packing it down, or does that make a difference even if it's sandy?
If we lived in Florida, rolling would be perfectly fine because you can't compact sand.
Yeah.
There's always pore space, and so you can't compact sand.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have a very heavy clay-based soil.
Yep.
And so, yes, that can be packed to the point where it literally is bulletproof. And so roots of your grass are just simply not going to penetrate and move in the soil. So, again, if you do consistent rolling, I'm sure what you will see is in the springtime when it's cool, we have consistent rain, you don't notice an effect at all with your lawn. But when you get into July and August and it gets hot and dry, I aerate pretty frequently, so I can about guarantee you the roots in my grass have got to be down 4 to 8 inches into the ground. And if you're consistently rolling and you have a very heavy compacted lawn, your roots might go down 2 inches, 3 inches at the most, and then which is perfectly fine as long as you're getting consistent rain. But when you get into the warmer temperatures, July, August, and lack of rainfall, that grass is going to it's going to brown immediately.
So that's it can't get that moisture that last 2 or 3 or 4 inches.
It doesn't have a significant root structure.
Yep.
And so again, I'm not telling you what to do and what not to do. I'm just telling you it has a negative impact on your lawn.
If you do this, it'll do that.
Yeah, you have a very negative impact. I mean, again, you can roll, but if you're going to roll, I would suggest aerating. If you're going to roll once, aerate twice. Aerate spring and fall, and you kind of alleviate that soil compaction. But again, if you look at, all the wonderful, awesome golf courses we have around here, the Elks come to mind. I mean, they are Nazis about aeration and every fall,
but they roll at least once a week, right? I don't know if I've ever seen a roller on the golf course.
Well, my thought on that is Mercer County, Dark County, we have the best agricultural counties in the nation are in these 2, 3, 4 counties around us. How many farmers have you ever seen out rolling their fields so they can drive their tractors faster across the fields?
Yep. And I just heard
they don't roll them. Yeah. They every freaking fall they're out there digging them up. They're running a chisel plow through them. They're running a subsoiler.
Yeah.
They're breaking the ground up.
They're unrolling.
That's a good way to put it. Unrolling.
I also heard, I believe I heard this correctly, they had National Farmers Week or something, and they had a breakfast or something. One of the things they mentioned is that Jay County is now the highest production agriculture county in Indiana out of their 92 counties. So between Mercer, Dark, Auglaize, and Jay, that's four of the top, the top four in two states.
Am I allowed saying, I think that has to do with Mercer County?
Yeah, it does.
If you look at the plot maps for Jay County, it's a who's who of farmers from Mercer County have migrated across the state line.
And a lot of which may change a little bit. A lot of that is a lot of them raise poultry for Cooper Farms and hogs too. But so a lot of that increase is from that, but a lot of it is different farming practices that the Mercer County old Dutch farmers took over across the state line.
We've got an amazing community, and when I say community, I mean the whole, the counties around us are, are pretty
30-mile radius.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Yep. Let's take another break. We'll come back and kind of wrap stuff up and go over, redo some things and see if there's anything new we need to talk about back in just a minute or two.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, this is Trevor Winning, owner of Top Ranch LLC, former Hastings Automotive. I want to thank the community for the warm welcome back to town. I plan to keep the Hastings quality of service along with their previous employees. With the cold weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking the fluids, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all the lights for your worry-free winter travels. Give Top Ranch LLC a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Cy Iota's Eyes Community Garage Sales will be held April 24th, 25th, and 26th this year. Registration for garage sales is open until Tuesday, March 25th. To register your garage sale and get your sale on their map, be sure to get your registration form from any Cy Iota's Eye member or go to their Facebook page, Fort Recovery Community Garage Sales, and download the form from your computer. Registration fees are used for advertising the sales and printing the maps. All proceeds are used for community projects and improvements. Again, Fort Recovery's community garage sales will be April 24th through the 26th. Welcome back to Insight. We've been talking with Steve Stone tonight, and we've covered a whole bunch of different things. Anything we missed? Did we cover most of the stuff for this spring?
Yeah, we did. We did an excellent job.
All right.
I don't know if anybody else thinks so, but I think so.
Yep, I think so too. So let's kind of go back over some of the things we talked about then, what we should be doing this time of year, and any kind of maybe pruning that you should do and shouldn't do, and that kind of thing, lawn stuff.
So, well, back to pruning, it's really, you have plenty of time on like your landscape plants around your house. If you do have fruit trees, again, that needs to be done, you know, very, very, very quickly. I had mentioned doing the horticultural oil application on your fruit trees. That, again, is a dormant oil, so you want to do that before the leaves start to emerge, so that has to be done. You know, again, we get a couple, 3 or 4 more warm days, we're going to start seeing things breaking dormancy and leaves starting to emerge, so you want to do that before the buds break, basically. And so that's your, again, your horticultural oil. And then as the leaves on your, like your fruit tree start to emerge in the flower and they bloom, you don't want to do anything when the flowers are there, because there's going to be honeybees working on the flowers, and the last thing you want to do is spray an insecticide and kill them. So then you wait until after the blooms are past, and then you can do your it's an insecticide, fungicide. It's called, the name escapes me. But again, it's another type of insecticide that, but again, you want to apply that after the petals have fallen off the flowers.
Not the leaves, but the petals.
The petals on the blooms. Mm-hmm. After they're done flowering, I mean, it takes a day or two and they just kind of just start to rain petals.
Yeah.
Once the flowers are done doing their thing and blooming, then then you can do another application of
a fungicide. Then you're not going to harm the bees because the bees aren't interested when the flowers are gone.
They're gone. And so just be really, really, really careful of timing of your applications, because again, the last thing you want to do is spray, because the bee population has been declining over quite a number of years. I just read some research recently that said that the population is actually starting to creep back up again, which is a good thing. And I think that has to do with just better practices by everybody involved as far as application of pesticides. They're careful about what they do, when they do it, how much they apply. And so, again, the population is starting to creep back up again, which is
And I've seen a really bunch of things on Facebook and, you know, all around that, you know, people used to try to kill bees because they were stinging them.
Right.
Now they figured out
we can't live without them.
Yeah, it's been preached and preached and preached that we need those bees. Stop killing them. Yep. Don't, you know, it's one thing if one lands on your arm and you swat him, but if you're spraying hives and all these plants to kill every insect, including bees, that's not a good thing. And I think that's a lot of what's going on.
And Ohio's done a good job. They have incentives and stuff out there to do pollinator plots, like up at the Big P walkway at the park. They have that pollinator plot back there.
Yeah, and that's really neat.
It is really cool. If you don't walk on that pathway in the summertime, you're kind of missing out, because...
Well, if all you do is just park your car and walk the 200 feet back there and look at that.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's really neat.
It's impressive. They have tons of native perennials, and the amount of bees and butterflies and hummingbirds that you will find back there on any given evening is pretty spectacular. And Ohio, again, has been big in promoting planting pollinator plots. And so that, again, is what they're after. They're after promoting the health of everybody in the environment by having more butterflies and bees. And those, again, are all of them are pollinators.
Yeah.
And so you can't have a strawberry without a pollinator. You can't have a raspberry, a blueberry, a watermelon without a pollinator. Yep. And so,
and lots of the flowers.
And yeah, and people don't, I don't think a lot of people kind of put that together.
No, and you know, pretty important. Most of us, you see bees, don't like them. You see butterflies, they're beautiful. You see hummingbirds, they're kind of cool. They all work together.
Yep.
And they all do a good job, and we need them all.
God put them here for a reason.
Yes, he did. I've come up with there's a very good reason for everything that exists except mosquitoes. I haven't come up with what do mosquitoes do?
Bring to the table?
I'm not a big fly person, but they eat a lot of dead carcasses and stuff, so they have a use. I haven't found a use. I haven't had anybody could tell me a use for a mosquito. They're just a problem.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, every other insect has some sort of thing positive that they do, not skeeters. All they do is bother people. I guess maybe it does work up a little muscle when you're swatting. So I guess maybe that's their contribution to mankind.
That's right.
So again, let's just go quickly over lawn stuff.
Yep.
You can plant, you can seed and reseed.
That's a good, I'm glad you brought that back up. We were talking before the last break about the pre-emergent that you were supposed to put down to eliminate crabgrass and foxtail from coming up. And I had mentioned that is a pre-emergent, so as the seed tries to germinate and grow, that herbicide that's in that product will not allow that weed seed to germinate. Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of in an enviable spot, like you're talking, we were talking off air about there's some areas in your backyard that needs to be overseeded, which is perfectly fine. It's easy to do this time of year. The problem you run into is you can't, and I had this guy from Cincinnati call me today and was asking me all these questions. I mean, I'm super busy, and I got this guy from Cincinnati that is standing in a box store, and he's asking me what fertilizer to get.
Is this your brother?
And what seed to get, and just bothering the living daylights out of me. Yeah, that would be my brother. He never calls for anything unless he needs something, and he was standing in the box store, and he's like, hey, I got this and this and this, and I'm going to do this. And the first thing I thought of is we live in a very beautiful neighborhood down in Mason, yeah. And I asked him, I said, are you the only guy in the neighborhood that's actually doing your own stuff? Because there's nobody in your neighborhood that's actually doing their own work. And he started laughing. He said, just shut up and answer my questions. And I said, and you're definitely going to be the most pale-complected guy out there working in the yard. I know that for sure. And then I got another, shut up and answer my questions. And so, again, he's got seeding to do, and we were talking about the pre-emergent. Yep. If you're seeding, if you got areas in your lawn that need seeded, the pre-emergent, like Dimension, pendimethalin, the different types of pre-emergent weed controls, they don't know the difference between a crabgrass seed and a bluegrass seed. And yep. So you kind of have to pick your poison on, are you going to overseed and reseed those certain areas?
Yep.
Or are you going to put your pre-emergent on? Because you can't do both.
Yep.
And that's what I was explaining to the idiot that called me from Cincinnati. I said, well, you got to do one or the other. Well, you can't do both. Because I said, all the seed yep. you're buying, and you're going to put it down, then you put the pendimethalin across it, and then none of it's going to come up.
Yep.
And he's like, what kind of fertilizer do I get? And I was explaining to him yep. NPK, which he's an engineer, so he gets certain things, but when you start talking nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, it all gets a little foggy.
Yeah.
And so we had to walk him, and it was hard walking him through it on the phone, but we got him through it. He put the bag down that had the pre-emergent in it, and then he got a different bag that didn't have any pre-emergent in it. So I can work my magic from 97 miles away.
So, yeah, that's...
And then I said, dude, seriously, I got exactly what you need. I said, just, do you have to do it today? I said, it's free. If you come up here, I'll put it in your trunk. And he's like, nope, got to get it done today. It's going to rain tonight. And I'm like, well, okay, whatever, dude, whatever.
It's going to rain other days too.
It is. He's just got it in his head.
He might be far enough south. We might even get some snow tonight or tomorrow or the next night. So he probably won't get that.
But, yeah, I've heard that.
So we kind of covered everything, I believe.
We covered everything, and we've covered the first 3 minutes that Bubba was late.
No, he was
covered. What's it like being a grandpa?
Oh man.
Have we covered that?
No,
we didn't get into
more important than that.
There is nothing. There is nothing better than that.
And Bubba's been practicing.
Do you catch a little heck from the girls? From your girls that talk about how awesome you are with the grandkid and how terrible parent, how terrible of a parent you were.
Oh, yeah.
And we was terrible to them.
We love these a lot more.
Well, I don't remember. I don't have a good memory, but I don't remember beating the living daylights out of my kids. But, well, you never treated us like this. Well, I feel like, oh, yeah, so you guys are, like, abused at this point or what? Well, but it is the coolest thing ever.
You need to ask them, do they actually remember when they were 3 months old?
Well, they don't, first of all.
No,
but
so that's how you treated them.
Yeah, I'm tired of getting grief about what a horrible childhood they had and how great their grandkid has it compared to how they had it.
Yep.
I mean, at some point, I'm just going to go get them and bring them to my house and not even talk to them anymore.
The best part, the way I understand it, best part of being the grandpa or grandma is giving them back. And when it's time for stuff, give them back. Spoil them. Play with them, do fun stuff, be yep. the cool grandpa, and then give them back.
He came down tonight, and I got to spend some time with him. It's nothing quite like it.
Then you had to come here. Sorry.
Yep.
All right, Stoney. So as an Ohio State grad, and your Ohio State basketball team, and we're all Buckeye fans, have not made the NCAA tournament for 3 years. So what do you do? I'm a Diebler fan, but when is it? He got one more year?
He's only had 1 year, right?
Two.
I love the kid. A year and a half, yeah.
Love the kid. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, great kid. And Ohio State was in a unenviable spot because he did come in after they let the previous coach go and did a phenomenal job. But that being said, it wasn't the best hire. It was an emotional hire, and it was a feel-good hire.
Yeah.
It was a feel-good hire for the Buckeyes. It was a feel-good hire for the coach. It was a feel Diebler. It was a feel-good hire for the players because the players loved him. But, you know, we're not Kentucky, but we're not it was a feel-good hire that wasn't the right hire. We should
in the day of unlimited resources.
We should have been out looking for...
You got to make the tournament. You got to be able to recruit.
Yeah, absolutely. How about Bowling Green's new football coach? Is that the best? Best hire of all time?
I
love it.
I hope he does phenomenal.
I read something. I don't know if it's true, but I read something that Urban.
That's right.
Urban called Eddie and said, "You really need to consider this job because this is going to be a good job for you.
It's a good stepping stone for you.
You really need." And actually, it was
slingshot at him and put him
up there. And I mean, I'm driving up there to watch a game just because Eddie George is up there. He is freaking unbelievable.
He's God for us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He absolutely is.
Yeah, I don't know how if you're looking for headlines, that's exactly right. I would be very surprised if he's not great.
And you talk about, there's a perfect example. That's not a feel-good hire. That is a hire. How many people is that going to put in their stands?
Yeah.
How many Ohio State fans, first of all, is that going to put in there? Because there's nobody in this room that wouldn't drive to Bowling Green to watch a football game.
Yep.
A, because it's a good school, and B, Eddie George is a coach.
Yeah.
He's going to be there.
I mean, he's going to put rear ends in those seats just because Eddie George is there. And in Ohio, he is kind of a god.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great hire.
Yep.
That's just a phenomenal hire.
I don't know how much they're paying him, but it's probably not going to be enough.
Well, yeah, he has a couple. That's the problem with some of those schools like that. He has two, three really good seasons, and he is going to be.
Well, and that's what happened with Urban Meyer.
He's going to hit the road.
You know.
That was a great.
But nobody had heard of him before. But, you know, he had a little success there and then got to somewhere else, and all of a sudden he's, you know, well, 5 years later, he's a national champion.
What local product did Urban Meyer recruit?
Dennis Wendell.
Nope.
Dennis Wendell played for him.
Yeah. He loved Tyler. Tyler's on a recruiting trip, and him, it's Tyler and Pat, and all the recruits are on a bus, and a guy comes up and says, tells Tyler and Pat, come with me, and they was with Urban, and they got him in the vehicle with Urban, and they went up. That was Tyler's junior year.
Yeah.
And
wow, that'd been really good.
He left his senior year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tyler sucked.
No, he didn't.
Didn't Tyler go back with one pass at Finley? The guy, linebacker, came in here about 90 mile an hour and says, "I'm playing basketball."
See you, boys.
Basketball it is.
Yep.
Basketball it is.
You know, I went to, here's how good Tyler Niekamp was. They played on a Sunday in the league tournament in St. Joseph's, up by Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching him warm up. He never missed one shot.
Is that right?
The 25 minutes warm up, never missed a shot.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I swear to God on that. Strike me down, big fella.
So he was like Les Johnson.
He was Les Johnson.
He was Les Johnson.
Yep. He was Les Johnson.
Yep. When Les got on a roll, he could.
Yep.
He could make them.
Oh yeah, he.
I counted 15 in a row one time. And he missed one and made seven more in a row.
I got a video of him making seven straight.
Yeah.
Yep.
So shooting threes, who's winning, Les Johnson or Angel Reese?
I know who I'm rooting for. Yeah. I know who I'm rooting for.
Well, we got anything else we want to talk about before we go to sports talk?
Nope.
Let's thank Steve Stone. Thanks for coming in, Steve.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And if you missed it or want to hear part of it again, you're going to be in the archives in a couple of hours, so tune in and we'll have it in the archives and it'll be there forever. So get all your information lined up and we'll be back with Sports Talk in just a couple of minutes. Bubba and Fee coming right up.
Thank you for staying tuned to Inside with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the